Hello and welcome to the Battle Cry Podcast with Mark Meckler. Catch the original live broadcast Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Go to conventionofstates.com/pod to learn more. And now, here's the Battle Cry with Mark Meckler.
So, I just am glad you're here. We have a great lineup here of people speaking, and I know that all of you have wonderful reasons to be here, and I really wish I could just share them all right now in my 2 seconds. But I'm going to start us off in prayer, and you know what we didn't do? Doug Dorn. Doug Dorn, where are you? See, I need a secretary. Anyone want to do it? Okay. Doug, can you come lead us in the pledge?
Please stand and remove your hats. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
So Doug is a veteran, and we have a bunch of them working on our project. And I have another one to introduce you to. He is someone who, from the beginning, I can't even explain. He just did whatever was necessary. He did what he was called to do. And even when we didn't have time to have him, to find helpers for him or to get things done, even though I wasn't very helpful with the forms, he just got it all done. And he found places to recruit. And he recruited, I want to know the number, Daniel Gumber, what is the number? He recruited many petition signers, over 1,000, 1,200. So I just want him to take the floor right now and introduce you to the Convention of States solution to the current madness we are all living in right now.
Hi there. I'm Dan Gumber. I'm from Elk Mound, Wisconsin. I'm a 20-year force vet. I'm a Gulf War Vietnam era vet. I have two brothers that were Vietnam era vets. I'd like to thank my brothers, Larry and Charlie. Charlie was in the B-52s out of Guam. Larry was a munitions troop in country. They made a lot to me, both my brothers. I retired from Fort Snelling National Cemetery, burying vets, so I know the national treasure. 246,000 buried there. It was quite a place. I love working there. I like to say the veterans love the Constitution. They will defend the Constitution, no matter what. We, talking about Fort Snelling, when I got done, when I retired, I messaged Joanne and I wanted to be a DC. I told her I was going on the way to Europe at the time, though. And when I came back, I started gun shows. I love gun shows. They call me Gun Show Dan. I go around to gun shows and do that. The first year I did it, I went around to, first full year, I went around to 22 events and just signed on 1,200 people. It just was fun for me. I had to do it in my retirement. I had to figure out something to do. So I love doing that. I'd go around and show them the Constitution, you know, and I'd say, here's the three items on the petition. We want a balanced budget, term limits, states' rights. And then they'd say, no, you can't do that, or no, it's never going to get done. And then I'd show them the map. There's 15 states done, 23 states in the works in different stages. And then they would say, well, that's pretty cool. And at first it was kind of hard, but we did it. It was just a hard thing to do. So right now I would like to, if I can find it. I'd like to read something to you. Of course, I ain't got my glasses on. Sorry about that. This is about Fort Snelling and how it's similar to what we're doing here. In 1870, Fort Snelling National Cemetery was created as a burial place for soldiers who died while stationed at the fort. In the mid-1930s, members of the Grand Army of the Republic, the Spanish-American War veterans, veterans of foreign wars, disabled American vets, Jewish war vets, and the American Legion came together to push for an establishment of a national cemetery at Fort Snelling. Teresa Erickson, an Army vet, was instrumental in the effort. In 1936 and 37, Congress approved the project and passed a law that allowed the Secretary of War to set aside portions of the Fort Snelling reserved for a cemetery. Fort Snelling National Cemetery was dedicated in July 14, 1939, marking the first time a grassroots movement resulted in the founding of a national cemetery. And we're a grassroots movement, right?
Right.
All right. We want a balanced budget, right? We want term limits, right? We want to bring the power back to this, our house, right?
So, thank you, Dan. Now, we have another Dan to introduce. He is another one who is a man of his word. I walked into his office, I told Facebook Live a minute ago, so sorry for the duplication. I walked into his office, I have been in, I don't know, felt like every office in the building, and asked if he would be willing to support the Convention of States three-point project, because my favorite is the power and jurisdiction limits. And no one else has that. So I wanted to make sure that although I love a balanced budget, and I signed that petition decades ago, I really wanted to make sure that even though that was getting done, we were going to make sure to do the other three issues also. So without knowing him, I didn't even see his face. His staffer went into his office and asked him the question. And he came out and he said, yes, he will. And then I walked away going, well, I wonder if that's going to happen. And years later, long story short, he has been instrumental in getting our resolution passed in the assembly twice. And I know, I should say I don't know. I should say it sure seems like he had to get creative. Not in a bad way, but you know. So I just want everybody to know that he is definitely a Convention of States hero. Our lead sponsor, Dan Knodel.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you all for making the trip to the Capitol. This is where you need to be at certain points in time on legislation, and you're here at the right time to see this through. We certainly have rounded the bases a number of times now, twice in the State Assembly that we have passed this resolution. And it's just time to get the Senate on the floor and to get it done. So perhaps we're rounding third base, and you can get your senators motivated to finish the deal. This is really, as long as this is going on for me, which is a 4+ years, I've just become more and more committed. I'm a state legislator. This is all about state rights. And it's time that, you know, we just did the pledge, and you know, that's all about states coming together to unite. And we're gonna stay a United States of America. The states have to be in the lead and to take back the lead, the states that created the federal government. So this is our opportunity for you veterans here, you just heard Dan, who have fought to uphold this Constitution. They're a lot braver than I. Many on the battlefield spilt blood on our behalf. I just have to go into these offices and convince people to take a vote on the floor. And I need your help to do that. We have honored these veterans, and thank you to all the veterans that are here that have been part of this cause for your commitment to country. So with that, you have some very knowledgeable people here about Convention of States, and they're going to be in the offices too. Please, please go see your state senator. Two things, just to confirm that they're on board, and it appears, and what I'm told, we are right there with the votes in the state Senate. So thank them if they're one of those that's on board. And then if your state senator is wavering, you're not sure, they really need to hear from you that it's important to you as their constituent that they vote for this resolution. And there's nothing, nothing more important or more effective than having a constituent tell, give you their personal story and why they're committed to that. There is nothing more effective than that. So you must do that. Drop a note to Senator Kapinga's office, the Senate president, who schedules the items that will go to the floor. He's good, solid, with us. I've worked with him all along these last 4 years, but he would be the one to schedule the resolution to the floor. So thank him for his work, and that you would appreciate if he would see it through from his end of things here in the state capitol building. So it's great to see you. Do those things. It's a must. And we're going to get this done. I think this is it. We're twice in the assembly. This is time to finish the deal. Thank you.
So I think we're a little bit ahead of schedule, and I see Senator Bernier is not necessarily in the rotunda. There she is. Okay. So I'm going to let everyone know my experiences with her. We were working, Dan and I were working the Northern Wisconsin State Fair a number of times, and sure enough, each time she was there, meeting everyone, finding out what the people want, getting to know everyone, getting, you know, being at the fairs. And, you know, even though she is the one who spent, I don't know, how much time did it take you to put your legislation together? She's the one who wrote the legislation regarding how Wisconsin is going to handle Article 5 conventions. And she put a lot of effort into that. And I just want to thank her for that. And I also want to thank her for listening to us. We weren't necessarily on the same page with strategy. They were selling the balanced budget amendment only first, but she opened her ears and listened to us, and there I was with those power and jurisdiction limits that I'm always hammering. And she, you know, a lot of times when people get a lot done, they don't necessarily listen to what other people are doing because they're very focused, which is a good thing, but she had the wisdom to also listen. And I just want to thank you for getting on board with us and leading the charge in the Senate. And you can tell us what we need now.
Gosh, this is way more exciting than the floor session I'm in the middle of right now. So it is such a pleasure to be here. Nothing makes my heart pitter-patter like seeing activists worried about our country, worried about our state, make sure that we continue the path of freedom in this great country. I think, you know, I'm sorry if I didn't hear everything everyone said, and I don't want to repeat, but I got involved in the Assembly of State Legislatures. I started taking Hillsdale College Constitution 101. If you haven't taken it, take it. It really helps you to understand George Mason, who grabbed James Madison and said, I'm not leaving here until we address Article 5 and a way for the states to take back their rights. If ever that provision in Article 5 was ever needed in the history of this country, in the future of this country, it is now. It is right now. So I worked with the Assembly of State Legislatures, and we worked on rules. Why haven't we had a convention since the beginning of time in this country, since they wrote our current constitution. What is, we've had a convention of states, we've met, but why haven't we ever taken the bull by the horns and amended our constitution? Thinking, well, there were only 13 states and they're all on the East Coast. It's probably a little easier to get together, although one still boycotted. But the fact of the matter is we're spread out. We have 50 states. We also have in what I consider an unfounded fear of the unknown and the fear that it would be a runaway convention. But, you know, we give our founding fathers all the kudos in the world, really well deserved, on how they crafted the Constitution of the United States. Well, they didn't have a problem with how they did it in all aspects of that Constitution. We have found a need to amend it in the past. They were very wise in giving us a provision where we have individual liberties and state rights that we can utilize if the federal government becomes unhinged. They are unhinged. And we need to take our Constitution back. So, I don't want to overstay my welcome. I don't want to, we're good? Okay, I can go on forever if you'd like. You know, as a friend of mine said, how have you become so good at public speaking? And I said, practice, practice, practice. So I am just excited that now is the time. I believe that term limits, whatever we propose in the Constitutional Convention, is going to automatically curb power from those within, as well as the money involved in how they harbor the leadership in Congress, harbor all of that money. I think automatically there would be a pecking order that would move up the line because they'd have to. And so I just think there's so many good things that come of this. Keep talking to your friends, keep posting on social media, whatever you can do to get people interested in preserving our freedoms in this nation under God. Thank you so much.
So, this brings us to our next guest, who is, I don't know where to start with this one. He probably doesn't know it, but he helped get me back here every time. He helped bring me home and still be excited. I would listen to his and Michael Ferris's speeches when we were going to talk to offices, and I learned how to speak about this subject from him. And so your voice is in my head. It's a good thing. But nevertheless, I just want to let everybody know that this fella has traveled the country repeatedly. He has been here, what, 4 or 5 times now? Yeah. And we've been through this legislative process twice, so he has helped out Wisconsin a ton. And I just, you know, I don't really know what else to say. Just thank you for being here every time.
So the first thing I want to do is recognize Joanne. You guys have an extraordinary state leader here, and leadership is in the doing. It's not in the saying, it's not in the title, it's not because somebody appointed somebody, it's because somebody steps up and actually does the work. You guys have a great state leadership team, generally a lot of great DCs, but we need to give Joanne Laufenberg the recognition she deserves. You know, leadership, honestly, real leaders, people who actually step into a position of leadership at any level, it's kind of a rare thing. It's not everybody that's willing to put themselves on the line. It's not everybody who steps up into a position of leadership that then maintains their principles. It's not easy, actually. And the higher one goes in politics, when you get up to the national level, the pressures that come to bear, the fundraising pressures, the caucus pressures, the public pressures, the situational pressures are extraordinary. And we all know, we watch folks in Washington, D.C., we send a lot of people to D.C., and they get there and we think, what happened? I saw that person on the trail. I shook their hand. I listened to their speeches. I knew what they were going to do when they got to Washington, D.C. And it seemed like, in a lot of instances, not always, but in a lot of instances, they didn't even try, is what it seemed like from our perspective on the outside. The people who go to D.C. and carry their principles unbent with them all the way through, that's a very short list. I've known a few of them in my lifetime. I've had the privilege. You know, Senator Tom Coburn was a friend and a mentor, somebody I miss dearly every day. And when we lost Tom to cancer, I sort of, there was a void. I felt like those shoes can't be filled. And I was very close with Tom. He mentored me a lot over these last 5 years. I learned a lot from him. And so when he passed, I had no thought of how we would replace him. I didn't think you ever could replace him. And I would say, to be fair, Tom was irreplaceable. God brought somebody across my path that I should have thought of long before. And he's somebody that I've been friends with before we ever engaged in politics together. We've been hunting together. We've sat around and hung out together. And I knew him as a man before I knew him as a politician. I knew him on the political scene, but we had just never engaged politically. And I had a chance to get him to know him as a man and to hear about his family and to hear about his life and to understand his principles. And I realized, wow, this is another one of those guys who never bent his principles, who made it to the highest level of American politics, the highest level of accolades, all the attention, running presidential campaigns, being in the spotlight. And the one thing that you could always say about Rick Santorum is he would tell you what he believed and then he would go act on it, and there was no variance between those two things. This is the first time that Rick and I have had a chance to appear together publicly since he became a senior advisor, Convention of States. So it is an honor and a privilege to introduce you to a true American statesman, my friend, Rick Santorum.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark. That was very kind. It's been a joy to be able to work with you and your history of grassroots leadership of grassroots organizations is legendary, and I can tell you the conservative movement owes Mark a debt of gratitude, not just for what he's doing with Convention of States, but what he's done on a whole variety of other organizations he's worked with over the years. You've been a tremendous leader, and I thank you for all the great work he's doing. He deserves another round of applause for the great work he does. Now, I have to say, this is my first time here at the Capitol. Some of you may remember, 9 years ago, I ran for president, and I campaigned a lot. Thank you. I campaigned a lot across the state of Wisconsin. I spent almost 2 weeks here in Wisconsin campaigning, but I was running in a Republican Party, and so I had no reason to come to Dane County. So it's the first time I've been here. And if you recall, back in 2012, when I was campaigning, there was a more important race going on, even though the presidential election was then, there was a more important race going on in Wisconsin. And I wouldn't ever dare to be caught near the Capitol at that time because it was occupied by a bunch of crazy people, if you recall, that were trying to throw out Scott Walker. And so, to be here and see all the pictures and now be where all these crazy people were is sort of a neat thing. So it is great to be here. For all of you who supported me in 2012, thank you. For those of you who didn't support me in 2012 and voted for Mitt Romney, I told you so. That's all I have to say. It is great to be back. I always tell people when I campaign for president, I campaigned in 30 states. And other than the early primary states like Iowa and New Hampshire, there are only two states that really stuck out that I talk about how fun it was and interesting it was that I felt really a connection with in campaigning across the country. And one was Louisiana, because you just can't beat the food in Louisiana. I mean, there's just no better place to run around. And the second was here. I really loved campaigning in Wisconsin. I remember going bowling in Sheboygan and going on Lambeau Field and trying to do the Lambeau Leap, not even close. But I went around the state and it felt so much. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. It just felt so much like the great blue collar, wonderful values that I grew up with in my home in north of Pittsburgh. And so it is great to be back here. This is, as Mark mentioned, we've never done anything together. This is the first time that I've done anything publicly with Convention of the States. And it's really interesting. It's where I ended my presidential campaign. This was the last state I ran my presidential campaign in, and now this is the first state I'm starting this new chapter in my career. So this is great to be here. Let me thank the sponsors of this legislation. Let me thank all of you who are volunteers. All of you are here today to stand up and do something that's really important. When I first heard about Convention of the States, I wasn't quite sure what I thought because I'd heard all these arguments against it from people who I thought were thinking conservatives. And so I sort of sat back and really didn't do much. Then Washington, which was, even when I was there, was somewhat out of control, and we have gone off the deep end. Washington, D.C. has completely lost its sanity. And, you know, to look at the expansion of spending and power that is accumulating in Washington and now set to even take a bigger explosion of federal power, if now is not the time to do it, let me just assure you what's happening in America today, and we're seeing this, you all know this. I mean, if you look at our colleges, obviously, here in Madison, but it's not just, it used to be just Madison. Now it's all the colleges are like Madison. They're like the University of Wisconsin. Wisconsin's not unique anymore. Every public university, almost all of the colleges, universities across this country are now indoctrinating the next generation of leaders of our country and have been for 30 or 40 years now. Now our public schools are doing it. Hollywood's been doing it for 30 or 40 years. The news media, now it's obvious what they're doing, but they've been doing it surreptitiously since I was a young person. How do we expect the next generation, if we don't solve this problem now, if we don't get this federal government under control and stop this march towards socialism and the elimination of any rights for the states, for the localities, and most importantly, the people, if we don't stop it now, do you think the generation that is being molded and shaped by the left, who controls all the levers of power from big tech to big business to big colleges, universities, everything, do you think that generation is going to fight like we're fighting? I hate to say it, it's not surprising we don't see a ton of young people here because they've been already brainwashed. If we have any hope, it's now. And so I would talk to the legislators here. I had an opportunity this morning to talk to the Senate in their caucus. And here's what I would say that I didn't say then. I wish I had. And I would say it in the Democratic caucus as well as the Republican caucus. You are state legislators. What is the problem of having amendments that stop Washington from telling you how to do your job? What is the problem, Democrat or Republican, to having the federal government mandate that you do this or spend money this way or regulate this way? Don't you want to do your job? Don't you believe in your own ability to do what's best for your own state? Or do you really need Washington to tell you how to be a senator or House member? I don't know how any Republican who says they believe in freedom could not support this. How can you stand up and say, I believe in freedom, I believe in the rights of free people to govern themselves, and then not pass a law that stops Washington from telling you how you're going to run your schools, how you're going to run your hospitals, how you're going to run everything in your life. These truly are liberty amendments. And if not now, when? Because I tell you, things aren't getting better. We have an opportunity, and here you are in Wisconsin. Here, the opportunity now, as Washington considers this blowout of spending, $5 trillion, programs that are going to cover you cradle to grave, and have government involved in every aspect of your family and of your life and of your business. Taxing people, anybody who succeeds are going to get nailed with huge taxes. We're going to crush business. We're going to hurt your state. Wisconsin now has an opportunity to stand up right in the middle of that debate and fire a shot for liberty. So I would ask you just what everybody else has asked you. Please talk to your senators. I know most of them are on board, and maybe enough. But we need them all. Anybody says, well, I'm worried about a runaway convention. Do you realize that any amendment that's proposed by this convention has to get 38 state legislatures to ratify it? What country do they live in that they think that any right that you care about would be affirmed by 38 states? That would be destroyed, I should say, by 38 states. No way. This is all upside. There's no downside here. All the downside is happening right now in Washington. So anybody that says, oh, we're worried about this or we're worried about that, the bottom line from my perspective, they're afraid to take the responsibility to govern. We need people at a time when our country needs patriots, at a time when our freedoms are really, truly on the line, to stand up. Stand up for the country that is the last best hope. A country that believes, unlike any other country in the world, in you. Believes in free people. The people in Washington who are in power right now do not believe in you. They believe in them. They believe that they should tell you how to do everything in your life because they know better than you. Whether it's a mask, whether it's a needle in your arm, whether it's how you raise your children, what they're educated in, whatever it is, they believe they know better. This is the opportunity. This, right here, this is it. Washington is not going to fix Washington. Wisconsin has to fix Washington. Thank you for being here. People ask me all the time, you know, why did you get back into the fray? Well, if, you know, I spent 4.5 years at CNN getting my butt kicked, so why not? I've been at this. I got first elected to Congress when I was 32 years old in 1990. And I was under attack before Donald Trump even thought about being in politics. So I know what it's like. And people ask me, why do you want to come out here and get your butt kicked again? And the answer is very simple. Because your country needs us. And here's the interesting thing. America doesn't need you to put on a uniform and carry a gun. They don't need you to go out there and risk your life to protect your freedom. They need you in every aspect of your life to stand up and do the job of a patriot, to defend the freedoms of this country, not to be afraid to tell your kids the truth, not to be afraid to go to work and stand for the truth, even though it might even cost you your job. It's not going to cost you your life, and a lot of people have given a lot more. This is a unique time in America. We don't need soldiers, we need patriots. Every single day, coming here to the Capitol, going to their business, speaking out in their churches, who've gone soft. The other side has changed this country because they were passionate, committed, and were willing to make sacrifices. And let me just be honest with you. They did it on our watch. I look around this rotunda, and I see a lot of people around my age. Is America the country that you were given when you were born? Are we as free as we were? Are we as proud of our country? Are our principles the same? No. How did that happen? I always tell people the best place to look is in the mirror. We let it happen. We're going to be the first generation of Americans who were given this great gift, and we're not going to have that gift to pass on to the next generation. And people tell me all the time, what should I do? And of course, the answer is do something. But there is nothing more important you can do to revive the American dream, to stop this march toward despotism, totalitarianism, and socialism, which is destroying this country, than to call a convention of the states to get this country back on the right track. For those of you who said you've been doing a lot, thank you. But here's my response to that. It's not enough. Until we get this vote, we have work to do. And so I'd ask each and every one of you, first, to get on your knees and pray and ask God to bless this country, because we have walked away from Him. But we see in the Bible that if just a few good people ask Him to help, even though we have gone astray, He will honor that. So please pray, work, and don't give up. God bless you.
Senator Rick Santorum. Now you guys see why I'm so excited to have him on board with Convention of States. You know, I have been to the state a lot of times. I don't even know how many times. Probably closer to 10, I would say. I mean, I've been here a lot. It's important to me. Every state's important to me, but we are so close here right now. There are a few senators that are on the edge, and I don't want to name names. I'm not intending to put heat on anybody in particular. But I want to give you, for me, what's the absolute best argument in response when people tell me that they're not in support of Convention of States, that now is not the time, that now is not the moment, that they're worried about a runaway convention, whatever their fear is. This is my best argument today. What? Do you have a television? There's this thing called the internet if you want to see what's going on in Washington, D.C. And people are watching what's going on in Washington, D.C., and they're saying we're not willing to step up and try to stop that. I struggle to understand that. I'm only being partially facetious when I say that's my best argument, because it's hard to know what to say to these folks anymore. Those who oppose used to say to me, well, it's the runaway convention. We've debunked that completely. If you want to know where the argument for the runaway convention comes from, it's pretty extraordinary. It comes originally from Chief Justice Warren Burger. You might recognize that name. He was the Chief Justice who gave us Roe versus Wade. And these are conservatives occasionally who oppose us. So I bring that up with them. They will say, and they have been saying for a long time, it's not time yet. Things aren't bad enough in the country yet. I had a lot of folks say to me, well, if Hillary gets elected, then. And then we had Trump. And then we have Biden. And frankly, Biden is far worse now. This government is far worse now than anything I could have imagined under Hillary Clinton. So I say, is it time yet? Is it time? Those senators need to hear that loud and clear. Now is the time. Now, some of these same senators will say to me today, some of these same members of the houses around the country or assemblies will say to me, it wasn't time before, but now it's too late. Here's the thing about too late. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if it's too late. God knows what He has planned for this country. I don't know. God knows the timeline. I don't know. But what I do know is that we as patriots have a particular call that is on our hearts, that is our responsibility, and that is the call to fight regardless of the time. Am I right? You live in Wisconsin, we are. We live in serious times. People always say this, that every election is the most important, every time is the most serious, but we have come to a crossroads in American history. There are two sides in America right now. One side believes that America is fundamentally evil, founded in racism, permanently and unretrievably flawed. The other side believes that America is a shining light of freedom, and always has been, based on eternal principles that are good and righteous, and that we have always sought to achieve towards those principles. Not that we're perfect, not that we've ever been perfect, not that we have not sinned, but that we have always strived to achieve these incredible eternal principles. This is a war, quite fundamentally, between good and evil. People who believe that America must stand as the shining light of freedom, and people who believe that America must be torn down and relegated to the ash heap of history. I know which side you're on. I know which side our incredible sponsors are on, Dan Knodel, Kathy Bernier. I know they are on the side of American greatness, American exceptionalism. I know which side you are on. I don't know which side wins. I have an ask of you today. Senator Santorum made the same ask, which is to fight, but I want to go one step further. We know these words from American history. You've all heard them, that the founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. You know those words. Most people don't know the words that came before it. They pledged those things not to a flag, not to a country, not to an army, not to a war, not to a concept. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to each other. There's a reason for this. Because we're at war in the United States of America. I used to say it was a fight, just a political fight, but we're at war. There is an open war taking place in the United States of America. And I don't mean in the gunshots and skirmishes sense, but there is a war for what America will be, or even if America will be. This is serious stuff. Senator Santorum talked about being attacked, being in the political fray. He's been attacked. I've been attacked. You will be attacked for standing up for what is right and good. You probably already have been. It might be in your own family. Maybe you have grown kids and they don't understand what you're doing, and maybe they've been polluted by the education system. It might be in your church. A lot of the churches have gone woke or gone soft. It might be at work. And so what I'm asking you to do is stand together, to stand for each other, to pledge your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor to each other. When I go to bed at night, when I say my prayers, one of the things I always do before I go to bed is I make that pledge to each of you, to every one of you. And I don't mean that metaphorically. I mean it personally. I'm just like you. I'm just a guy who lives in the country, has kids, and I love this country. And I know that if I'm not in this fight with you all the way, if I won't take your call, if I won't respond to you when you get in trouble, then I can't expect you to do the same. It's really important to me that you understand on a personal level that I have your backs, that our national team has your back, that our state teams have your back. We're all in this together. You know, Franklin said we're either going to hang together or surely we'll hang separately. We intend to hang together, and I intend that we're going to win this fight. Are you guys in it? That's serious stuff. I want to end on a higher note because the reality is I have a unique perspective. Rick got this when he got to travel around the country. He saw it just like I do all over the country. What you see on the news is not the United States of America. You see the perspective that the media wants you to see on the United States of America. When you travel the country like I get to, when you go to all these cities, I've been in 48 states in the last couple of years, just in the last 90 days, I think it's 13 states. When you get to do that kind of travel, what you see is what makes America extraordinary. You see the heart of America. You see American genius. You see American faith. You see American values. You see American family. You see American hard work. You see what has always made America great. And it's out there, and every day, in every state, frankly, in every city you can go to, in every county, yes, even here in Dane County, there are great American patriots. So while I believe we live in dark times, I'm very encouraged. You know, times make the people. Difficult situations require heroism. Difficult times require that people step up and do more than they've ever done before, and that's what I'm seeing in the American people today. We are very close here in this legislature. We've come through already one house with flying colors. We are very close in the Senate. I believe we have the votes, but we're right on the edge. So what it's imperative that you do today is that you go out and you go to your senator's office and you speak to your senator. If they're in support, thank them, let them know we love them, we appreciate them, we're with them, we support them. If you have a senator that's on the fence, let them know why you want them to support. The most important thing you can do is tell them your story from your heart. Rick and I get up here, we're in the fancy suits, we come in from out of town, they don't care about us. They care about you. Your state legislator actually cares about you. You have power here in Madison, Wisconsin, even if you don't know it. So go speak to them, talk to them, convince them, always be polite with them. Always lead with your heart. Always speak from a place of love. Know that right and goodness are on your side, and let's go get it done. God bless you guys. God bless Wisconsin.
This has been the podcast version of The Battle Cry with Convention of States Action President Mark Meckler. Check out more content at conventionofstates.com/pod and become part of the solution that's as big as the problem. Thank you for listening.